episode of Routes Through Pokemon Detour 3. I'm Ruby.
I'm Shaylock.
And together we are father-daughter duo going through the Pokemon series of video games, the anime, and the Pokemon Adventures manga. And joining us today we have...
Rosella.
And Flame.
Today we will be catching up where Rosella is at in Pokemon Crystal, and we will be having Flame join us in Pokemon Silver. We will also be catching up on any new Pokedex entries in Shaylock's and my games, Pokemon Gold and Silver. And we will be doing the last half of Volume 10 of the Pokemon Adventures manga. But before we do any of that, let's catch up where we're at with our own stuff. What have you been up to, Shaya?
Well, let's see. We've been having a lot of, we've had a couple birthday things going on. We had Valentine's Day not that long ago. And just most recently, I was at a men's retreat for about half a week. That was a lot of fun. Just got back from that. During the retreat, they had a Pokemon Tour Unova event in Pokemon Go. So I was catching a lot of things, including Reshiram and Zekrom. And I got a shiny Zekrom, which was cool. At first, I couldn't tell the difference because they're both just very black. But there's a point on the back of them. And their eyes are different colors, I think. But there's a point in the back of their head. And at the very tip of it, there's a color. And that changes. That color is different. And when they attack or whatever, when you click on them, you know how they do like a little animation? There's a part of them that glows. And that color matches the little point. So that changes with the shiny as well. And then I also got Curum, but I did not get enough of any of the kinds of energy I needed, or whatever it's called, to fuse Curum and Zekrom or Reshiram. So I don't know how I'll get that energy, if there's a way to do it in the future. I don't know, but it's kind of put a halt to a quest I'm on. I also finished all my 385 excellent throws I needed for a quest, finally. Now all I need to do is get a shiny Pokemon in a trade, and then I can move on with that one. And what I've just noticed, at least this week, I don't know when it happened, I guess, is that they changed up the animation for when you catch a new Pokemon in Pokemon Go. So when you catch them, there's a whole different kind of animation and stuff that let you know that you've got a new Pokedex entry. But what's really interesting is when you catch your first shiny of a certain type of Pokemon, it does the same thing.
Oh.
And the whole Pokedex is laid out differently, and it's really nice, actually. So you'll have to check that out.
Did they do any more announcements of the Switch 2 on Pokemon Day?
No. Switch 2 announcements will be on April 1st. But no, the Pokemon Presents, there was an announcement I was hoping would be made, because there was a rumor about it, but that didn't come to fruition, unfortunately.
Aww.
It had to do with the classic games being collected, and like at least the first three generations collected on... Switch game, so you could play Ruby, Gold, Silver, Sapphire, Red, Blue, Yellow, all on the Switch.
I was hoping that would happen too.
Yeah. I'm still hoping that maybe something like that'll come, but they did not announce that at the Pokemon Presents. But they did finally have a full-on trailer for the new Pokemon Legends game that they announced last year, and that's Pokemon Legends Z through A, which nobody really knew what to expect, and based off of what we got before, we just assumed it was going to take place in the past of the region from X and Y, which is Kalos, just like Arceus took place in the past of Sinnoh, calling it, what was it called? Hisui? Yeah, something like that. It was what the region's called, but it's just the past of Sinnoh.
Wouldn't it be A through Z, not Z through A?
You'd think so, but that's what they called it. And I think it has something to do with the fact that we never got a Pokemon Z game, because there was a lot of complaints about that back in the day. Because we got X and Y, and the people wanted the third game to be Z then, even though we didn't get a third game with Black and White.
Oh.
So, I think it has something to do with that.
I'd also want a Z game. It just feels incomplete.
It really does. But it's not going to take place in the past, and instead it's just a further, like it takes place after the XY games from my understanding. But we did get our new starters for the region then. They showed what those were going to be.
Ooh, what are they?
So in Pokemon Legends Arceus, the three starters were just starters from three different generations before, right? And they were all from different games. They weren't all, none of them were from the same one.
Yes.
One of them being Cyndaquil, right? Which is the Johto fire starter. Well, this time we have Tepig, which is the fire pig guy from one of the generations. And then we got Chikorita and Totodile. So they did the Johto starters except for the fire one because he was already in Arceus. And I was really confused by that. I thought they would go, like, spread it out or whatever again, but they didn't.
That's kind of weird, but okay.
Yeah. That's fine. I'll play Chikorita. It'll be good.
I'll play Chikorita. That's you already got Chikorita.
Who was the fire Pokemon again?
Tepig.
Oh, I think I know who that
What's
is.
What's Tepig?
It's a fire pig, like I said.
Are you sure it's not bacon?
I'm not sure which generation he's from either. It's got to be either Black and White or Sun and Moon. So that was exciting information. They're also coming out with a new game for the Switch for Pokemon called Pokemon Champions, I think is what it's called. And it looks like, so back in the day, when Pokemon was just on Game Boys and things like that, for the Nintendo 64, they came out with a Pokemon Stadium, which allowed you to plug in your Pokemon from your handheld games into the Nintendo 64 games and battle them in a 3D format instead of just the little 2D version, right? And it looks like Pokemon Champions is going to kind of be the same thing, even though we have 3D Pokemon games now, but basically it's just a place to battle your Pokemon.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so.
Tepig was from Pokemon Black and White.
It is Black and White, okay. What's the fire one and Sun and Moon then? Sun and Moon has, water one is the little seal that turns into Primarina or whatever. And it has Rowlet, which is the grass Pokemon. Oh, Litten. Litten's from Alola. All right. So, yeah, I think that covers the things that I am aware of and know about right now. Well, is there anything going on in your life that you want to share, Ruby?
I watched Paddington 3 yesterday.
That's fun.
I went to the theaters with my grandma and watched it.
It's a good movie.
I like his cold, hard stare. It's so funny.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've been doing that much. Catching up with evolutions in Gold.
All right. How about you, Rosella? Anything you want to share?
We helped our friends clean their house.
Nice. Was that a lot of work?
Yes.
Anything exciting happen?
You found a dead mouse.
True, true.
That's exciting.
I was scooching stuff out from behind a dresser, and I freaked out because there was a dead mouse in a trap.
What about after you got back home? Were you missing anything?
Oh, yeah, I accidentally dropped my phone in their driveway.
And somehow it escaped any kind of being run over.
Or being destroyed, and thankfully we noticed until before morning that way it didn't get rained on or driven over because they might go to church in the morning.
Jeez, two phones destroyed in the same night, that would have been bad.
Yes, and speaking of that, anything exciting happened to you, Flame?
My phone got burned in a fire.
Yep, I threw it in there.
She did not! Alright, so we were burning all the trash in their yard, and then I was going in to go get some food, because it was lunchtime and my mom brought some food for us to cook and eat. She had me run back a piece of cardboard, and my phone was in my coat pocket. And when I went back there, I was, like, jumping like a maniac or something. Like, I was bouncing really high. And when I was trying to find my phone, I realized there was nowhere to be found. And people tried calling it. We tried, like, find my phone or something. And eventually, I just saw the top of it in the fire, broken.
So now that we've caught up with everything, let's move on to mine and Shaylock's progress in our games.
Which isn't much. We've been leveling up Pokemon, and I think Crystal and Silver are perfectly in line with which ones they've evolved, whereas you caught up on a bunch, but I think there's still, like, two left for Ruby.
Only two?
I think so.
Yes, I got this.
But that'll change after today, because then we'll start working on more, but besides that, I did make some progress in Crystal.
What?
So you remember the cow that we keep trying to feed berries to on occasion when we're playing? I did tell you about this. Will you feed berries to the sick cow? Because that's how we heal the cow.
Oh!
I finally fed it enough berries and Crystal, so I got a TM. I don't remember what it does, but I have a TM.
I think I keep forgetting to feed it.
Yeah, well, I haven't been doing a lot in Silver because I don't play Silver unless I'm with you generally. So I just did it in Crystal.
Yay!
And I keep getting haircuts for my Golbat in Crystal, so.
Does a Golbat even have hair?
I imagine it's like three hairs on the top of its head, and it's like snip snip.
Like Diglett.
Diglett dig, Diglett dig.
Trio, trio, trio.
Trio. Trio.
Trio.
Diglett
dig,
Diglett
dig.
Trio, trio, trio.
Diglett dig,
Diglett
dig.
Trio, trio, trio.
Well, I caught a Sunkern.
Yeah, you got like a phone call about them being in the bug catching area, right? Or for the contest. Yeah. The national park.
Yes, in the national park.
I did that.
What?
I did the bug contest. I lost.
That's okay.
I got third place on my first try.
I think that's what we got, too.
Maybe.
Then we got first the second
time. Was it in any of the first, third, or second?
When you do the book catching contest, it's the only place to catch pincers and scythers.
Oh, really?
In this game.
I should have kept my pincer then.
Yes, you should have.
My Weedle was stronger.
No wonder you lost. You like, a pincer? Nah, I'm taking this Weedle.
Honestly, I did some...
All right, let me explain. The pincer was a level 5, and the Weedle was a level 16. That's why I took the Weedle instead of the pincer.
I see.
Did you look at their stats?
I forgot to.
It literally pops up and shows you all their stats. How did you forget to look at them?
Because he just clicked A a bunch of times.
I didn't know! I looked at their level, not their stats. And their health. I also looked at their health.
Well, I was leveling up my Hoppip, and it was giving me a new move. And so I kept hitting A. And oh no, I got rid of Splash.
Yeah, the bug catching contest only happens twice a week. Like, there's only specific days you're allowed to do it.
Oh, I was lucky then. Because I got it, like, I was able to do it the day I found it.
But to get the Scyther and Pinsir, that means you have to do it at least twice. And so that's what Ruby and I did. But in Crystal, the second time I did it, I couldn't find the Scyther I needed. So I eventually just took the Scyther from Pokemon Yellow.
What?
Because I have my saves in Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow. So I traded the Pokemon, because we can trade with the past games now. But yeah, there was a phone call about them showing up there. And I realized I deleted a bunch of phone numbers, so I went and back and got phone numbers from the, like, I deleted other numbers so that I could get the numbers again from the national park, so hopefully they tell me when a Sun Current shows up. I got more information about a Yanma showing up again, which I don't need. And I went back to Ralph, the fisherman, to get his phone number again so that he can tell me when Quillfish show up, because he did that once, but we never went back there.
Told me once.
Oh, he told you? I thought it was me. Never mind.
Firestorm is too strong. She's literally almost a level 40.
Very good.
Well, now that we caught up where we're at in our games, let's see where Flame and Rosella are at. Let's start with Flame. Since he has just started, let's see what progress he has made.
So, I chose Cyndaquil for my starter.
Surprise, surprise. We have a bunch of fire starters over here.
I will crush you all.
And then, as soon as I heard that, I was close enough to the Bellsprout Tower? What is it called?
Yeah, I think it's just Sprout Tower, maybe, but...
Since I was... Then when I heard I was pretty close to Sprout Tower, I, like, basically just ran straight there. I did the egg quest, where I'm, like, trying to... Where I'm trying to hatch an egg for... Bill?
Professor Elm.
That's right. Professor Elm. I helped with the Slowpoke and Team Rocket cutting off their tails. And then I got the HM cut, and I've got 2 gym badges so far. I'm working on my third, but the ghost gym.
Impressive that you skipped a gym somehow.
What do you mean?
What gym badges do you think you have?
Normal.
So that's the third gym badge.
Bug.
That's the second gym badge.
I can't remember what the first one is.
The flying gym? In the same town as Sprout Tower?
Oh, that's right. I have the flying... Okay. I'm working on my fourth badge. I got 3 badges. I got a Ghastly from the Sprout Tower, which was really hard for some reason. But after I got it, beating the gym was so easy.
Yeah, catching those Ghastlies are so hard to do.
What else did I do? Oh, I helped.
I was just going to ask, did you get the Onyx from the trade in Violet City?
I don't talk to people, so no.
Okay.
I did talk to them about that, and I said no, because I didn't want to trade my Pokemon.
Then you're never going to get strength if you don't talk to people.
I learned that I have to talk to people in the Burn Tower. Is that right? I have to talk to
people. No, that's not where you get strength.
You do kind of have to talk to a lot of people to get things.
Yes, because you'll need to do that for Surf as well.
Unless you're playing right next to someone who does all the reading out loud so you don't have to talk to anyone. Even if you do talk to people, you might mess it up and then they have to go talk to them still. Yeah, I talked to someone. I was like, ooh, Daddy, let's go do this. And we kind of messed up because we were supposed to have room in our party for that flying Pokemon with the message.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to start talking to people. I'm afraid there's going to be some extra battles that I would not want.
You need money, so you want to battle.
I have plenty of money. Anywho, I made it to... What city is it that has the ghost gym?
Ecruteak.
Yeah, I made it to Ecruteak, but I have When I entered, I had no idea where I was. I saw a tower. I'm like, that looks like Sprout Tower, except I'm nowhere near that. So I'm guessing that's probably the Burn Tower or something. And then I saw a gym. I'm like, oh, is there a Poké Center here? My Pokemon need healing. Almost all of them were knocked out. I found one, thankfully. Healed my Pokemon. Found a Pokemart. Got some potions and revives. And then tried to fight at the gym. When I first went in, I'm like, why is it all black? I can just walk around them. As soon as I try walking around the first person, I get sent back to the beginning. I'm like, what just happened? And then I walk right in front of the first one, and he's like, stumped by our floor. And then we battled. And then I went to the next one. He said he was going to give me a hint if I battled him. I finished battling him. He didn't give me a hint. I'm like, wait, what? I talked to him after I defeated him, and then he gave me the hint. And he said that the answer is right in front of our eyes. I'm like, how is that helpful? I cannot. All I see is black. Oh, wait. Our eyes.
See, it's important to talk to people.
I noticed. Anywho, I was able to defeat all the minions in the gym, and the gym leader keeps defeating me when he gets to Gengar.
Oh, I struggle with Gengar, too.
Yeah, so I use my Cyndaquil to defeat the first two. But after I get one curse gets played on me, I switch to Togepi, which I named TGP. And I use Metronome, and then which usually is like a ghost move, so it's super effective. Or dark move. So I was able to defeat them, and then when Gengar comes out, it defeats my Togepi. So I switch back to Cyndaquil, and it's just Hypnosis and Dream Eater.
Yep. Hypnosis Dream Eater was really frustrating.
But I got a burn in because I have a higher level, so I got attack. So I got him burned, so I was hoping that would kill him. But apparently, I didn't realize that Dream Eater heals him. And then eventually, I got left with nothing except my Geodude, which only has Tackle and Defense Curl.
So, some advice for you as you're trying to take on the Ghost Gym. He only uses the ghosts from the first generation of games. And that means they're also poison. So they're weak to psychic attacks. So if you get a Pokemon that isn't a psychic Pokemon, that has psychic moves, like a Butterfree or something, that'll be very helpful as well.
Okay.
Also, berries that make people wake up right away would be also helpful.
I'm trying to find those. I want them. And then I want to put them, I want to make them hold it.
Yep.
Because then, that doesn't take up my charge.
Yeah, they just eat them automatically.
And if you battled trainers and got a bunch of money, you could buy revives and potions.
I did!
So when you're down to your last Pokemon, you can heal all.
I literally said I bought revives and potions.
I did not even know about Dream Eater or anything because I just flame wheeled my way through.
Did you defeat it on your first try?
I had to hit him 2 times.
I meant, did you defeat the gym on your first try?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Ruby blasted right through as well.
Are you kidding? Is it just me and you who were stuck?
I didn't lose. I almost lost. But I definitely struggled because of the sleeping Dream Eater stuff. Correct?
Oh, I thought it worked no matter what.
And then he would heal up because he eats our dreams, and it was so frustrating.
Oh.
I had to use way too many potions for that battle. I did not like it.
I don't think you or me has ever lost to a gym. I had to redo a gym because the save didn't work or I didn't save.
Yes.
But we've never lost.
How do you eat dreams?
He's a ghost.
So he flies into your head and just has lunchtime?
Who knows? He flies into your head and has lunchtime.
Or it would be dinner time because it would be nighttime when you're sleeping.
Another thing is that, and I think I might have talked to you about this off air, but now that you've met Bill, you want to go back to Goldenrod City and talk to him again at his house, because that's how you get an Eevee.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure if I want it. I'm kidding, yeah, I want a Flareon.
And you don't want to let your Eevee die.
Why?
Because then it gets unhappy.
He doesn't care about that, he wants a Flareon.
Oh.
Well, he doesn't need friendship for that.
Guess you don't need to love your Eevee.
What do you need friendship for?
Oh.
I want both.
I'm kind of wondering if I should get an Umbreon instead, because Umbreon's the dark type, right?
Yep. He would also help with the ghost, because dark is also strong against ghosts.
I know. Togepi used Bite at one time.
Oh, you have Bite on Togepi?
No, with Metronome.
Oh, gotcha. That makes sense. Because, yeah, Bite is really helpful, too.
Because it did a lot of damage, and it's super effective. I'm like, oh, I don't know why, but I just know that bite is just a dark type move. Probably because I was like frustrated because I feel like it should be like a normal move, but it's a dark move.
Was bite in red, blue, and yellow, Ruby? I can't remember. I almost feel like it was.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I think it was.
Because if it is, it wasn't a dark type move then, because there wasn't a dark type.
Oh.
What?
Dark type and steel type came with gold, silver, and crystal. And just like fairy eventually comes with X and Y. All right. So you got to Ecruteak. You're struggling with the gym. And Rosella, you defeated Ecruteak, as you've kind of stated.
Yeah. So at first, when I was walking across the floor, I accidentally walked all the way to the wall and fell instead of just walking one block away. And then when I was at the last one, for some reason, I just walked up and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you were struggling for a bit and I had to kind of coach you through a little bit.
Little bit.
But you eventually figured out your way there. And did you go back and get an Eevee?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think I kind of ditto so that I left them in the centers with the,
So you can get more Eevee?
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
And I forgot that Ditto transform into your Pokemon. It was just weird to see a purple...
Quilava? Typhlosion?
Quilava. It was completely purple.
So Bite was introduced in Generation 1. And since Generation 2, it has been a Dark-type move.
Yep. So then what did you do after Ecruteak? Did you go to the Burn Tower at any point? I mean, you must have.
I think so. What did I do there?
Did you ever fight your rival there and then end up down in the basement as the floor breaks?
Oh, yeah.
What happened down there?
At first, I almost walked up the stairs and I thought there was a bunch of monsters up there. And then I realized it was just the three dogs.
So, you released the legendary beasts and then what did you do?
Where did I go after that?
I'm guessing you went west, since that's the way you're quote-unquote supposed to go.
I'm in a lighthouse.
What are you doing at the lighthouse?
I had to talk to the lady because apparently you can fall through the black holes. I thought I'd try walking
okay.
over to a black
hole. Okay. You went west from Ecruteak City and ventured across that route where you might have run into some Magnemite or something.
Nope.
Okay. But you eventually got to that farm.
And there was a sick moo-moo. I don't know the name.
Miltank.
Miltank.
I love Miltank.
I'm pretty sure a little girl said its name was Moo-moo. She's like, Moo-moo's sick.
And then you went south into Olivine City, which is a city with a lighthouse.
Yay.
And you were smart and talked to everybody, so you ended up with the Strength HM without realizing it.
Yep.
And then you surfed your way across the water to get to Cyanwood.
Before then, I went to the lighthouse.
Oh, yeah.
Thought I tried walking into the black holes, and I thought I couldn't, and then I tried again just a little bit ago, and now it works. Actually, I didn't try. I accidentally fell.
Yeah, you actually need to use the holes to get up to the top floor. A specific hole.
Earlier, I was like, how do I get in there? There's no stairs leading to it, and I can't fall through the black holes. How do I get to that little section with the guy in the Pokeball?
So, the first time you went to the lighthouse, you never made it to the top then, right?
Correct.
So, then you sailed across to Cyanwood, which is that little beach town.
Mm-hmm.
And
when I got there, I, was exploring, and I went up to the top, and I saw Suicune.
Yes. And what happened after you saw Suicune?
It ran away into the water, and then I had to fight this guy, because he's like, was that Suicune? I only saw a glimpse, and it's the guy who wants Suicune, and so we battled. And I beat him because, my Pokemon is almost a level 40, so, yeah.
His name is, Isween or something. Which we'll talk about more with Flame as we jump into the manga.
And now I have to go back there because I forgot to get the medicine. I didn't forget. I just didn't know I had to get medicine because I didn't get to the top, and now I've gotten to the top. So.
Ah.
Now I'm going to go work on that.
So... does that mean you finished the gym?
Oh, yeah, I did beat the gym.
And so did you surf back to Olivine?
Oh, I got fly and I flew.
So who did you train surf to, out of curiosity?
So I caught a Noctowl and I trained it to that.
Wait, Noctowl?
I said surf.
Oh, my surf.
But now we know fly, which was going to be my next question.
Meryl.
Oh, Meryl.
It's my only water Pokemon.
Was it a cool Meryl with an earring in it?
What?
There's an episode of the anime.
Oh, okay, okay.
Is swim an HM?
Surf.
Surf, that's what I meant.
Yes, you get it in a critique.
It would be funny if I put it on my starter.
Yeah, speaking of that, I don't know if they can learn surf unless they are the type of Pokemon that can learn it, like Totodile. I might have been wrong about some of that. Yeah, Fly is true, too. You can't teach all of them Fly. Like, Charizard, I think, could learn Fly. But I don't think
there's Blastoise. Charizard in the game?
No, but I did it in Red, Blue, and Yellow.
Wait, are you able to catch a Charmander?
I don't think so.
Are you able to trade a Charmander into your game?
If somebody had one, yeah.
And then you could get Ditto, and then
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been breeding the starters so that me, Ruby, and my Crystal game can all have all of them.
I want a Ditto.
Well, you could have caught one right before Goldenrod City, out in the grass. Just wander around. You'll find it.
My Repel was on.
Well, you're never going to catch anything interesting if you keep using Repels.
I only really use them if I'm trying to get somewhere quick.
Sure.
And I have some Super Repel, which is 200.
But that's just the thing. I think Flame does the same thing, but he's always trying to get somewhere quick.
He's trying to get through the game quick.
Yeah, I'm trying to speedrun.
I like catching Pokemon. I just don't like fighting them over and over and over and over and over.
But your speedrun has already run into a hiccup because you don't have the Pokemon you need or the levels you need as you're trying to beat the Ecruteak Gym.
I need to, like, drill through the game information so I can find out what exact level I need to beat the game. And then I can just quickly level up to that as quickly as possible. And
Bad you can't.
Too bad you can't really Google that information anymore.
What information?
That's just cruel.
With your melted phone.
Oh. That's just cruel.
I mean, he could try. All right, next, let's do any new Pokedex entries we have.
Who's that Pokemon?
Noctowl. Owl. Number 164. When it needs to think, it rotates its head 180 degrees to sharpen its intellectual power.
That's what the kids think that I can do.
There you go, text.
Its extremely soft feathers make no sound in flight. It silently sneaks up on prey without being detected.
Its eyes are specially adapted. They concentrate even faint light and enable it to see in the dark.
Golbat, bat, number 42, the answer to everything. When it plunges its fangs into its prey, it instantly draws and gulps down more than 10 ounces of blood.
However hard its victim's hide may be, it punctures with sharp fangs and gorges itself with blood.
It can drink more than 10 ounces of blood at once. If it has too much, it gets heavy and flies clumsily.
Quagsire, the best Pokemon ever. Waterfish, number 195. This carefree Pokemon has an easygoing nature. While swimming, it always bumps into boat holes. That's so
sad. Don't touch the boat hole!
Did you mean hole? Like H-U-L-L?
Yeah.
No wonder Quagsire is your favorite. It's like me.
You bump into boat holes.
No, the more relaxed, whatever she said at the beginning.
This carefree Pokemon has an easygoing nature.
Yeah, easygoing.
Yeah, that's what we call you.
Shut up.
Unless you're sick and can't record, well then, the easygoing goes...
Due to its relaxed and carefree attitude, it often bumps its head on boulders and bolt holes as it swims.
You said boat holes too. Its body is always slimy. It often bangs its head on the river bottom as it swims, but seems not to care.
It bangs its head a lot. Skiploom, cottonweed, number 188. It spreads its petals to absorb sunlight. It also floats in the air to get closer to the sun.
As soon as it rains, it closes its flowers and hides in the shade of a tree to avoid getting wet.
The bloom on top of its head opens and closes as the temperature fluctuates up and down.
Gloom, weed, number 44. The smell from its drool-like syrup and the pollen on its petals is so bad it may make opponents faint.
What appears to be drool is actually sweet honey. It is very sticky and clings stubbornly if touched. Interesting.
It secretes a sticky, drool-like honey. Although sweet, it smells too repulsive to get very close.
Did you know that this is based off a real flower that's like almost exactly like that? Yeah, there's a flower that has this horrible smell and it's all slimy. Like, we were reading far through it in science and we're like, what? It's a glue.
Cadabra, sign number 64. It possesses strong spiritual power. The more danger it faces, the stronger its psychic power.
If it uses its abilities, it emits special alpha waves that cause machines to malfunction.
When it closes its eyes, twice as many alpha particles come out of the surface of its body.
All right, now that we've finished the Pokedex entries, let's move on to the manga. We're starting with Adventure 123, which is Debonair Dragonair, and continuing on through the rest of the book.
All right, so previously we were following Crystal as she got her quest from Professor Oak, and then she ended up venturing off the wrong way through Union Cave because she got kidnapped by some Magnemite or Magneton, sort of, and Lieutenant Surge took her to a boat, and then she got dropped off in Olivine, and then she encountered a Suicune when some Quillfish got poisoned. And so now we're leaving Crystal behind and following Suicune, actually. So Crystal was going to go look for Suicune, but the Pokemon is nowhere to be found in Olivine. And then we see Suicune is near some place called Blackthorn City, which is a city that is in the game. We just haven't been there yet.
So I'm guessing the lady that I guess is kind of featured in here is probably the gym leader.
Which would be our final gym leader.
Oh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Suicune leaps through the night over a building that turns out to be the Blackthorn Gym.
Oh, I guess they probably are the gym leader then.
Yep. We've already done Olivine and Cyanwood, and we know Mahogany is one, so Blackthorn must be the eighth and final gym of Johto. Then we're given a chapter image with Suicune and a bunch of gym leaders, I think.
Yeah, well, at least three of them are.
Because I recognize the lady on the far left from the anime opening, like from the... right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there is Morty, the Ecruteak gym leader. Is Morty on there?
I think that's Morty.
And then the Cyanwood gym leader, Chuck?
I think so.
Okay. That's what I'm pretty sure I see. And then there's like some old dude.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know who that is. And then Erica and Sabrina from Kanto.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Which was confusing.
I wonder if the old dude's from Kanto. Did we fight an old dude?
Yeah, his name was Blaine. Does he look like Blaine? With the weird mustache? Bald?
He doesn't have a mustache, and he's somewhat bald.
So in the gym, a guy is battling with the lady from the anime that we've seen, and they both are using Kingdra, I think. Does that look right?
Yeah, they both look like the... Well, one looks...
They're definitely both horsey evolutions, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the lady, likely the gym leader, switches out Kingdra for Dragonair. The guy loses the battle, and he calls the woman Claire. And she calls him Ryu, which I think is the word for dragon, or is a name that means dragon. Wait. Or something in Japanese. And Kingdra and Dragonair are dragon-type Pokemon, so I'm pretty sure this must be a dragon-type gym. At least in the manga version, it's a dragon-type gym.
Well, she looks like a dragon-type leader in the... song too, so.
Oh, well, that would all work out then.
So she's probably gonna be dragon.
That's exciting. Anyway, Claire does praise Ryu for his clever tactics, besides the fact that he lost, you know, like, or in spite of the fact that he lost. And Ryu calls Lady Claire their leader and most gifted dragon tamer. So yeah, dragon types. And Ryu is probably one of the trainers there to beat, which means he was probably using a Kingdra as well. Or at least training a Seadra to become
his
a Kingdra.
His was definitely a Kingdra. Hers looked more like a Seadra.
Okay. So then it turns out this lady is also the grandchild of the leader of their clan of dragon tamers. And they tame dragons in Blackthorn and are powerful and proud of their skills. But Claire is worried she's getting soft, and there haven't been any tough opponents lately. But Ryu foolishly says that Claire did lose to her brother, Lance, a while back.
Well, he doesn't say back, he goes bah, and right. Then she kicks him in the face.
Right, because she didn't like being connected to losing, and then she marches off to the dragon's den. But did we all catch who she lost to?
Yes.
Who?
Lance, her brother.
Who is also...
in the Elite Four.
Right, and in the manga, not a good person. In the video game, he helped us out with the Team Rocket headquarters.
What? Uh-huh.
Oh, right.
What?
Don't you remember the Elite Four in the manga? They wanted to get rid of all the humans. And Lance was the final boss, basically, that Yellow fought. And she evolved all her Pokemon at once.
Yeah, I remember now.
Okay.
It looks like her Pokemon might be a Kingdra. Definitely could be.
Okay. Even if it's not, she would be evolving it into a Kingdra eventually. It might be why she's training with it.
I wonder if she's going to be bad like her brother.
Yeah, I'm interested to find out. So she shows up and challenges all the dragon Pokemon in the Dragon Den. And so Dragonite and Gyarados show up. So we're still highlighting Gyarados's dragon, even though they're not.
They're a dual type, so they could be dragon.
They're a water flying type.
That's a dual type.
Not a dragon, though. It's just funny, because, I mean, in the video game, it's the same, right? There's not very many dragon types, so Lance uses Gyarados, and so they keep promoting Gyarados as dragon, basically.
I would call Gyarados a water dragon.
I mean, it looks like a dragon, but they stand there calmly instead of attacking like usual, like they usually do that, and that's because Suicune is there. So Claire battles Suicune and thinks she is doing well, and even paralyzes Suicune. But it was a block of ice with Suicune's reflection that she attacked. So then Suicune seems to have felt that it battled enough and just leaves, finding the woman unworthy. The woman's grandpa, a weird little guy that speaks and mumbles, shows up along with some dude in business attire. The guy explains that Suicune tests people, and so she thinks it is testing those it finds worthy to find one worthy enough to be its trainer. And then we get a shot of a guy flying on a Skarmory and wearing flight goggles. And I was pretty sure that this must be Faulkner, because Faulkner found himself a Skarmory, and he's the flying-type gym leader.
And he looked really cool.
Yeah.
Like with his goggles and his coat. It's like...
And apparently he's late to something.
Of course. Cool people are always late.
Okay. So I must not be very cool then, because I'm always early.
I always want to be on time. Like.
And... on time is late, so early is on time.
What?
For me, but if I'm on time, I'm late.
Oh. Yeah, I don't like being right there on time. I like being like a couple minutes early. 5, probably.
Yeah. So then we get to Adventure 124, which is...
Scrappy Skarmory.
And here, we're at Cyanwood, and Chuck the gym leader is there doing 500 one-handed push-ups.
Two-fingered push-ups.
Two-fingered push-ups. Do you think you can do 500 two-fingered push-ups, Flame?
I can do 500 girly push-ups.
I think I could do 500 girly push-ups if I wanted to.
We'll have to test that out later.
Jeez, it's going to take a while. It's going to take 500 minutes.
Then he checks in at home and says he is busy that evening because a friend and rival is coming at 7 p.m. So he starts training 2 hours beforehand and then waits. His wife mentions it is 7:35 and Chuck blows it off because apparently this friend is always late. Sounds like a friend of mine. Then there's a crash and Chuck investigates and sees things all cut to pieces. Then the water washes up his friend's bomber jacket. So Chuck sends his Pokemon to pull his friend out of the water where he assumes he went. And then he sees Suicune and it turns out his friend is still fine up on a Skarmory. We learn the guy is Walker. Not Faulkner, like I thought he was.
Faulkner, Walker, close enough.
Yep, and the Suicune is why he is late, and it must be a special Pokemon since it is giving the Flying-type expert trouble. And that's when I realized that this guy is probably Faulkner's dad.
What?
He used to be the Flying-type gym leader we've learned in either the manga or the game or both. That Faulkner's dad used to be the one that ran the gym.
Ah.
So he used to be a gym leader.
I'm glad he didn't name his son after him, and he named it a little bit better.
After a battle, it is kind of funny that the gym leader that was the flying-type gym leader, is named Walker. After a battle, the Suicune decides to leave as they are not worthy to be its trainer either. Then they talk about how it also fought Claire at Blackthorn, and we learn that 4 years ago, Blue was a trainee under Chuck. Which means he's probably the same one that Blue remembered when he fought Agatha at the power plant in that one flashback chapter. Remember? When he's fighting and when he's almost beaten because he's put in some kind of weird hypnosis or whatever, and he remembers battling with some guy who tells him to, like, it's not just, like, the Pokemon. Like, he has him, like, connect or whatever. I don't even remember how it goes. I'm not making any sense. But do you remember that chapter?
Yes.
And then because of some guy that trained him that we only see, like, shadows of or whatever, he breaks through Agatha or the ghost control and fights back. And they mentioned that Walker has gym leader skills too, further suggesting he is Faulkner's dad. And they assume Suicune will be going after all the gym leaders, even the new ones at Viridian, which we learned is Blue recently. He took over that gym leader position. And Violet, which is Faulkner. We end up with a series of panels of Suicune crossing the sea, still seeking a trainer. Then we're on Adventure 125.
Miss Drevis, misgivings.
So some town in Johto, Morty is standing at the peak of a building, meditating, and he has a Ghastly and Miss Drevis by him, which I always thought he should have had a Miss Drevis at the gym battle, because that's the new ghost Pokemon of the game, which we still haven't encountered.
And he's standing on, like, the very tip, so he's gotta have his, like, feet on the sides, like, holding together.
Yep.
I don't know how he could stand there that long.
He's magical.
Guess so.
The townspeople are watching him and talking about how he came from Ecruteak, which is the only reason I knew that he wasn't in Ecruteak, because I just assumed that's where he was at first. He's a gym leader, and he can supposedly see things others can't, or maybe the future. He's also been standing there all night long, apparently. Then he sees it, whatever it is he's looking for, and he brings a lady who was supposedly separated from a giraffe rig as a child out to the base of a mountain, where there is a giraffe rig. The girl and her father are grateful and think that Morty can find anything, but he says he has failed twice before, and one seems to be that he was looking for Ho-Oh, based off the description and image given in the book. And the other was to find where Suicune was, for a man named Eswene, who is now his friend, which follows the Crystal game, where Eswene and Morty are hanging out in the Burn Tower. Because the Burn Tower is a little different in Crystal, I told you about this.
Yes, yeah. You did.
And we just learned that, you know, Rosella had to deal with Eswene at Cyanwood Beach, just like I did in Crystal.
I'm not gonna have to deal with that, I'm in Silver.
Yep. The girl recognizes the name Suicune and tunes into the radio, and Morty learns it woke up in Ecruteak while he was away, and that it and the other two have been spotted around Johto. It is even known that Suicune fought the Blackthorn and Cyanwood gym leaders. So all this news keeps going around really quick, people learning all this stuff. Morty rushes off to find it and uses his ability to locate it after setting a trap. Then he paralyzes the legendary Pokemon as it flees back into the town. Morty throws a Pokeball, but it goes right through Suicune. Then it and all the people and the town vanish. Turned out Suicune used Mirror Coat and protected itself, causing the Psy Wave that Morty tried to use with Misdreavus to hit Misdreavus and Morty, which made him hallucinate. Then after Suicune is gone, Morty calls Eswene and lets him know who he just ran into. Now we move on to Adventure 126.
Jumping Jumpluff. With this title, I thought it was going to say Jumping Jigglypuff, and I was like, yes, yes. Aww.
So now we finally catch back up with Crystal, and she's riding around on Archie, her Arcanine, and she hasn't had any luck locating Suicune. She talks to Oak about it, and he says it seems to be going after gym leaders. And then he asks how close Chris's Pokedex got to Suicune, and it was close enough to get a read. So now he wants to try a new feature called the Pursuit System, which is something I'm positive shows up in the video game eventually. Right. Basically, it will be able to locate on the map a Pokemon that was encountered but not caught. So Chris sees Suicune moving quickly, and her and Archie ride off to find it. Eventually, she's at Route 29 and lamenting that Suicune is so fast that by the time she gets to where Suicune was, it is now somewhere else. And while looking around Route 29, the Pokedex lets her know that Suicune is now somewhere else. Now, here's the thing. There's an error here, because it keeps talking about 29, which seemed weird since she was all the way in Olivine, right? And that she traveled all the way back to 29? But it seems that it was supposed to be written as 39, so that was a mistake.
Should we crack the book?
Yeah, we'll just draw in our book and fix it. But then Suicune shows up and is dashing all over. So Parasy uses Sweet Scent to lure it out, but soon it goes back into hiding, which is odd. Chris uses her Pokemon to beat down the grass, making it so Suicune has fewer places to hide, and then one of them gets shocked, which is odd since Suicune is a water Pokemon. Turns out the Suicune was just a 3D image from a machine that Isuine was using to try and lure Suicune out of hiding. The shock came from his electrode. He finds out that Chris is now his rival in the pursuit of Suicune, and then he throws a lot of party popper things at her so he can flee with his Jumpluff.
But, like, the way he's like, oh, that makes us rival.
Yeah.
He seems dorky.
I find that guy really funny.
Yeah, he's an interesting character for sure. He had told Chris he won't pull his punches just because she's a girl, and that he will be the one to get Suicune, as it will be the culmination of a decade of hunting it down. So he's been trying to find Suicune for 10 years. So then we move on to Adventure 127.
Miltank Melee.
We see a Ditto transform into a Suicune and someone in the shadows chuckling about it. Then we go back to Chris watching Isuine fly away laughing as he drops a card with a picture of himself. And then we go to Moo Moo Farm. And the farmers are worried about a sick Miltank, just like in the game. Then suddenly Isuine crashes down, putting a hole in the roof and landing in the hay, which saved him. The farmers try to get rid of him as they're trying to work on their Miltank, and so he offers to help. They think he's a doctor, but he corrects them and says, he is a wizard. He pulls out a Three of Clubs playing card from Miltank's throat and says that it symbolizes that if they welcome him, then Miltank will recover. And so the farmers think he's a con man. But then he makes her heal somehow, and so they give him some delicious Moo Moo milk. Then he starts looking around for Suicune again and is using opera-like binoculars. He gets a strange feeling he's being followed and turns, and suddenly Chris's face is in front of his binoculars. She calls him rude for tricking people and says she knows he slipped a berry into Miltank's mouth when pretending to pull a playing card out. He finally admits to it and says he didn't want to have to pay to fix the roof. Isuine thinks Chris is following him because being near him would up her chances to find Suicune. But
dude,
she was...
you've been looking for it for a decade. What do you mean it's upping her chances?
Right. But she was just following her Pokedex, and sure enough, Suicune attacks. Isuine thinks it was Suicune that he felt the presence of, and both he and Chris are chasing it. But then Chris says it isn't Suicune and demands the Pokemon show itself. Turns out it is a Ditto. She figured it out based on the direction Suicune is moving on her Pokedex and where the Ice Beam came from. They realize someone is trying to keep them there and distracted, so whoever it is can be the one to get Suicune. And then we see someone in shadows in a building using a comms system, likely with whoever is trying to snag Suicune. This person wants the other two to stay out of the way, but if they cause problems, then they are to be eliminated without mercy.
And then it shows Masked Man's face and wig
hanging up nearby. So this person in the shadow is the Masked Man. But just so you know, that's not his face hanging up, that's his mask, because he's the Masked Man. Alright, and then we move on to Adventure 128.
Indubitably Ditto.
On Route 38, we have four Team Rocket Grunts with a Girafarig, Elekid, Octillery, and Spinarak going for Suicune. They claim the boss was right about following Isuine to find Suicune. Ditto tries to capture Chris and Isuine inside of itself, but Chris is able to fool it. Then the two follow the pursuit system and go looking for Suicune and the Ditto's trainer. There, Chris has Parasy shoot spores 2 miles away, which knocks out all the Miltank in the area, as well as the Pokemon of the Grunts as they tried to chase down Suicune. Chris and Isuine float along on Isuine's electrode. Then Isuine sees the goons, but not Suicune, so he gives Chris a doll of himself, and jumps down and glides with his cape. He communicates with the doll, and he says they should split up. So, like, the doll works like kind of like a walkie-talkie almost.
Mm-hmm. I find that part very creepy.
he's a strange one.
He's very self-centered.
That too. So they split up, one to deal with the goons, since they'll be awake soon, and one to chase down Suicune. And he is agreeing to be the one to take on the goons, which was kind of surprising to me. Earlier in the conversation, he learned that Chris was willing to take a chance with the spores because she really doesn't want Suicune corrupted by people like Team Rocket. So I'm guessing that helped inspire his decision to split up like that.
Yeah, probably.
Chris follows Suicune on her Pokedex and learns it is returning to Ekrateke. It's going home. Meanwhile, the grunts wake up and Eswene realizes the Octillery must have been the one using Ice Beam. Then he says the same thing he did to Chris before about how they must be rivals. But then he corrects himself when it comes to the grunts because rivals suggest some kind of equality. That riles up the grunts and they go for the attack, but Eswene says that he will wait until the grogginess has subsided, and then he will beat them all at the same time.
When that happened, I'm like, yeah, there's no way he's gonna do that.
So then we get to our final chapter for Volume 10, Adventure 129.
Great Girafferig.
Harry, the grunt with the Girafferig, says that he'll take Eswene on 1v1. He climbs onto his Girafferig and mentions that Eswene is up against the former Team Rocket trio. So I was wrong about there being four grunts earlier. There was only three. And I was also wondering, was that the name of the group in the Sylph Company building in the game? Remember there was that, like, those few different grunts? I don't remember how many there were, but there was grunts in the Sylph Company building that were like, I'm part of this special group of Team Rocket, like the Team Rocket trio or something like that. Do you remember that?
Oh, probably. Oh, and I think the reason you thought there was four is because it looks like there might be like four or a big group laying on the ground at one point, but it's just them and their three Pokemon.
Yeah.
And Girafferig looks kind of like a person.
Whatever. Anyway, the other two grunts are named Al and Ken.
Ken? He has a weird face.
So then Spinarak casts a web cube like covering to cage Eswene and Harry inside, and Elekid charges it with electricity. So they're an electric cage where Eswene can't escape, so it's just him and Harry. Eswene talks all cocky, but then he is hit with a psi wave and it blasts him into the electrified string cage. Harry says they are now the new executive trio.
Fancy.
Eswene complains that his cape now smells burnt in a way to sound totally fine. Like, he's just like, oh, now my cape is burnt. Like as if he didn't get hurt. Just annoyed.
Yeah, he got up and was like, my favorite cape! It smells all burnt now!
Then Eswene performs some Pokemon magic that seems to stun all three grunts. Or the executives, or whatever they're calling themselves. Then we go back to Chris over in Ekrateke, and she plans to head to the Burn Tower. Back to Eswene, he has Jump Pluff out, and they laugh at him for it, but then Jumpluff pulls off a smokescreen, and he's gone. But there was no way out of the cage. Harry decides Eswene is just hiding, and has his Girafferig use its tail to sniff out Eswene. And it is kind of funny to see Harry riding on Girafferig backwards. They find Eswene cowering in fear, and Harry says the other two should go ahead and go after Suicune. Then the tail bites Eswene, only to find it was something made up to look like Eswene. Even more fun is that the now almost naked Eswene had sprayed cologne on the metal chain necklace thing, which is what Girafferig smelled, and therefore bit. And so the chain touched the cage, and it electrified Harry and Girafferig. It was quite the clever ploy.
Yeah,
and when
I thought this part was hilarious.
And when Girafferig gets zapped, its eyes go all starry, but so do its other eyes. Like, both eyes go all starry.
Oh, that's fun.
But yeah, he's naked and so inappropriate.
He's not naked. He's got, like underwear on or something. Anyway, Eswene gets dressed and mentions that Jumpluff's powder had leech seed in it, which also took out the other two, just like he promised he would do. Take out all three. Then he plans to reunite with Chris, who just arrived at the Burn Tower along with Electrode. To be continued.
I love how they spell that with the unknown.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now that we've finished our manga along with the rest of the episode, let's move on to Pokemon cards.
Woo-hoo. Yay.
First, the sniff. So I will be opening, well, we'll all be opening Scarlet and Violet. I will be opening Paradox Rift with a, I think, Garchomp on it. Not exactly sure.
I'm also doing Paradox Rift in it, some kind of dragon type looking thing. I forget what it's called. It's blue and red. I don't know.
And Flame, what are you opening?
I am opening a Shrouded Fable with who knows what on it.
I bet you it's a Pokemon.
That's a good guess, but I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure which Pokemon.
All right, and Rosella?
I'm also opening a Shrouded Fable with Monkey Dory on it, I think.
Yeah, I think that's his name.
I think we should let Flame go first since he's been joining us with a game today.
Alrighty. So for my first card, you got a Metal Varoom, and then I have a Dark card with Absol. And then I have a Dragon card, Fraxior. Oh, and it has an ability, Unnerve. Whenever your opponent plays an item or supporter card from their hand, prevent all effects of that card done to this Pokemon. Alright, and then I have a Psychic Duskull. And then I have a Grass Galvantula. It evolves from Joltik. And its ability, Compound Eyes. Attacks used by this Pokemon do 50 more damage to your opponent's active Pokemon that has an ability before applying weakness and resistance.
Isn't that like a giant electric tarantula?
Yep.
Pretty much.
And then for my Pokemon tool, I have Power Glass. At the end of your turn after your attack, if the Pokemon this card is attached to is in the active spot, you may attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to it. I use this card in the video games all the time. And I have an Ancient Fighting type Slitherwing. And then I have a Psychic Dusclops, evolves from Duskull. Ability, Cursed Blast. Once during your turn, you may put 5 damage counters on one of your opponent's Pokemon. If you use this ability, this Pokemon is knocked out. It's a reverse holo. Another reverse holo, a Grass Rowlet.
Rowlet! I love Rowlet.
So cute.
And then I have a Fighting Blood Moon Ursaluna.
That's cool.
Nice.
It is a really cool looking card.
Is that your rare?
Yes, it is my rare. And has ability, Battle Hardened. When you play this Pokemon from your hand onto your bench during your turn, you may attach up to 2 basic fighting energy cards from your hand to this Pokemon. Alright, and then I have a Fire Energy. And that's all my cards.
Alright, Rosella, you want to go next?
Sure. Let's see what I have. I have Drowsy, and I think it might be the reverse holo. It is a very shiny card with cool Pokeballs. Ooh, I also got a Blood Moon Ursaluna.
Nice.
It's the exact same, and it's like, it also has the shiny Pokeballs. Ooh, the Copperjaw. It evolves from Kufant. It's a metal type, and it has an ability, Massive Body. As long as this Pokemon is in the active spot, your opponent can't play any stadium cards from their hand. That would be horrible if it happened to me because I love my stadium cards. Oh, I got Horsea, the water type. And I got Kufant.
Perfect.
And it's like balancing stones on its trunk. It's cute. And it's also a metal type. Basic Psychic Energy. Zubat. A dark type, Rowlet. Yeah, it's just sitting in its tree. Grass type.
That's the same one I got.
Nice. Janine's Secret Art, which we've had more than once.
Yes, we've seen Janine's Secret Art many times.
Decidueye.
Nice, I love Decidueye.
Evolves from Dartix, Slitherwing, fighting type, and an ancient card. Same as Flame. Yeah.
All right, that's cool. Now, Shaylock?
Alright. I have Apom, colorless, Galvantula, lightning.
Just like flame.
Was your Galvantula grass?
Let me check.
Yes.
Yeah, and his had an ability. Mine does not.
Well, I thought it might be a little different, but I didn't know his was grass.
Yeah, because it's a bug electric type.
I should have known, but I didn't pay attention. My bad.
Mantyke, water. Pansage, grass. Tatsugiri, dragon.
What kind of dragon? Like, what energy does it use?
Water for water gun, and then colorless for survival strategy. Vanillix, water, with an ability Frigid Room. Oh, and evolves from Vanillish. Your opponent's Pokemon that have 40 HP or less remaining can't attack. Pokemon Tool, Trainer, Defiance Vest. If you have more prize cards remaining than your opponent, the Pokemon this card is attached to takes 40 less damage from attacks from your opponent's Pokemon. Pokemon Tool, Trainer card, Technical Machine, or TM, Turbo Energize. So the move is a colorless move called Turbo Energize. Search your deck for up to 2 basic energy cards and attach them to your bench Pokemon in any way you like. Then shuffle your deck. Oh, and that's a reverse holo. Then I have another reverse holo, Supporter Trainer card, Parasol Lady. Shuffle your hand into your deck, then draw 4 cards. If you go second and it's your first turn, draw 8 cards instead. Ooh! And then I've got Altaria EX. Evolves from Swablu, Dragon type. Ability, Humming Heal. Once during your turn, you may heal 20 damage from each of your Pokemon.
That's really cool. I like Swablu. What types was the dragon?
It's water and metal.
I love it.
And then I have a basic grass energy.
Cuckoo. That's a cool one to end on. I'm going to guess that was your rare.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just an uncommon.
Yeah, it's a 2-star rare.
Fancy. All right. I will do my cards now. First one is Fuecoco, fire type. Then Hone Edge, metal type. It's like a sword. Then I got Horsey, water type. Looks a little different than Rosella's. Then Dwebble, grass type. Then Cloth, fighting type. Orthworm, metal type. Absol, dark type. Then a reverse holo Pantsier, fire type. You got Pantsage.
Yep.
Mine'll beat yours.
Yep.
Then another reverse holo, Wigglet, water type. Ooh. Then for my 2-star rare, I've got Armourouge EX. Fire. Should I read the ability first? Oh, yeah. Ability, Crimson Armor. If this Pokemon has full HP, it takes 80 less damage from attacks from your opponent's Pokemon after applying weakness and resistance. It's really cool. I mean, it probably would have been cooler if it was the psychic type, just saying. But it's really cool.
For sure. I like Cerulege.
Oh, and if anyone's wondering, it evolves from Charcadet.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Then I got a fighting energy, which I can use for my 1 fighting type Pokemon. All right, well, that concludes our episode. Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and other podcasting platforms. You can also find us on YouTube at the Hunterfield Institute channel. So like, subscribe, rate, and review, and leave us any comments you feel like. You can also connect with us on our Facebook page, Routes Through Pokemon, where we post the latest episode rankings, tally counts, and favorite Pokemon. You can also talk to Shaylock on X at Hunterfield Inns or Instagram at Kinetic_card. And he's also been posting on Threads as well. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at HunterfieldManor@gmail.com. Next week, we will be covering 6 episodes. It will be the last 4 of Season 2 of Johto and the first 2 of Season 3, which is the final Johto season. So we will be giving our final rankings and adjustments for that second season and we will be encountering 2 gym leaders. So thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next route. Bye-bye. Bye.
Sayonara.
Adios.
Part 34. The Mad Mankey. Lavender Town was to the east of Celadon City, and so that was the direction Murasaki headed. Between here and there, however, was Saffron City, and so he would have to pass through there first. There was a gym there, but it was run by Sabrina. Seeing as she specialized in psychic Pokemon, it further justified Murasaki's goal to get himself a ghost Pokemon first. As Murasaki cut through the grass toward Saffron, he was immediately set upon by a Mankey. The Pokemon was crying out wildly and swiping at the boy. It was quite a surprise, and Murasaki nearly fell over, backing up as fast as he could. Then Murasaki fumbled for his Pokeball and dropped it before realizing his odd little friend was still riding around on his shoulder.
Oh, right. Onish, go!
The little plant leapt off his trainer's shoulder and ran to intercept the Mankey, charging forward. It almost ran right by the Oddish, not even noticing the little thing amongst the tall grass around it. But then Oddish attacked. Its leaves waggled a little as if blown by a gentle breeze, and the Mankey slowed and looked down. Its eyes narrowed at the little Oddish as it felt some of its life drain away, and it attacked the smaller Pokemon. The kick from the Mankey sent the Oddish bouncing away, but it didn't stop the plant from continuing to draw energy from its opponent. As it continued to draw health away, the Mankey grew more and more furious and continued to rage against the Oddish. Murasaki was getting nervous. He could see that his Oddish was getting worn out, but so was the Mankey. He knew he was going to have to decide to keep trying for the win or to pull his Pokemon back before he got too hurt. Then he remembered what Erica and his mother had said about taking care of the Oddish. Sighing, he reached for the Pokeball to have his Oddish return. But the Pokeball wasn't on his belt. He had forgotten that he had dropped it at the beginning of the fight. He whirled around looking for it in the tall grass.
Where did it go?
He asked out loud, starting to panic. He started crawling around to search and hoped he could find it before it was too late. There was another loud, angry cry from the Mankey, and Murasaki poked his head up to see what was happening. As he suspected, the Mankey was making another lunge for his Oddish, who didn't look like he could take another hit. But about 3 steps away from the plant, the Mankey's knee suddenly buckled, and the angry Pokemon crashed hard into the dirt. The boy stared for half a moment, wondering if the Mankey was going to get up again, but then realized that if it did, it would be best if Oddish wasn't still out there.
Come on, Oddish, come back here.
Slowly, the Pokemon turned and looked at its trainer. The Pokemon looked like it was barely standing.
Right, you stay there and I'll come get you.
Instantly, Murasaki could see the relief on his Pokemon's face. He marched over, but, as he got closer, he slowed down and kept a sharp eye on Mankey, worried it would pop up at any moment. Then it clicked in his head that maybe, since it is laying there and weak, he should catch the thing. And that's when he realized he didn't have any empty Pokeballs. He had totally forgot to purchase any. He sighed heavily as he picked up his weary Pokemon.
All right, buddy. We'll go back into town, patch you up, and while we're there, I should definitely go by.
The Mankey leapt up with a cry and went for Murasaki again, but without thinking, the boy quickly kicked his foot out and managed to hit the Mankey square in the nose. It flew backward with a shocked look in its huge eyes. The boy winced, realizing he probably shouldn't have done that. He looked around quick to see if anyone saw and breathed a sigh of relief that they hadn't.
Let's go before any more trouble comes along, huh?
The Oddish nodded. Back in Celadon, Murasaki entered the Pokemon Center and stepped up to the counter. Then he placed the Pokemon down, and the nurse gave the boy a quizzical look.
I'm sorry, but can you put your Pokemon in its Pokeball first?
Murasaki blinked.
Oh, dang it! I left it in the grass.
The nurse sighed.
So, put it in a new one then?
I would, but look, I'm just getting started. I forgot to buy Pokeballs before leaving, and then I was attacked by a Mankey.
Putting a hand up, the nurse was about to try to speak again, but Murasaki ignored her and just plowed on.
And then I dropped his Pokeball when I was going to release him, but I forgot he was on my shoulder, and so then I tried to find it, but my Oddish was getting beat up by the Mankey.
Enough!
Murasaki stopped, his mouth still open as he looked at the annoyed woman across the counter from him.
I will look after your Oddish while you go to the shop and get some Pokeballs. Then come back, and we can get everything all squared away.
The boy nodded.
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Now run along and hurry back.
He nodded again and took off for the department store, where he knew he could find the shop he needed. However, almost as soon as he left the center, he noticed a man and woman in dark clothing with a large letter R on the front of their shirts. They felt off to the boy, and his curiosity was piqued, so he followed them from a distance. Upon reaching the game corner of town, the two R's entered the main arcade where people gambled away their money. Murasaki gave it a minute or two before entering after them, and he regretted the wait almost immediately. The boy couldn't find them anywhere, even as he walked down every aisle. It was as if they had simply vanished into thin air. Murasaki thought that maybe there was another exit somewhere, but he couldn't find it, and if there was one, then why would two people enter a building just to leave another way?
Unless they knew they were being followed,
he spoke quietly to himself. Just then, the front door made a ringing noise and someone entered. He wore an R on the front of his shirt, too, and he was walking right toward Murasaki. To be continued.